I'm really against like conventional sunscreen, oxybenzene, all these other ingredients that really cause cancer and they destroy the coral reefs. These things were given to us for a certain reason. And then we, as humans, just really just mess things up with chemicals. The whole chemical revolution was not what they promised. And then I guess the last way to harness sunshine is
smelling these fragrances are like smelling glue as far as the toxicity, but it's also they're manufactured to get you addicted to them.
When you're stressed, your nervous system does this thing. Well, at first, when you go into flight or fight, your blood pressure and heart rate go up.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you go past that into functional freeze, which is where most of America is,
yeah.
That's where they just dissociate and scroll on their phone and watch a Netflix marathon and don't get off the couch all day. You start dumping minerals out of your kidneys because your body can't hold its pressure and heart rate anymore. This is when people's blood pressure starts to fall, their cortisol bottoms out, because stress impedes absorption.
I've heard you say that histamine could be the reason you have anxiety.
The two main causes for that are...
Welcome to the show, Dr. Jess.
Thank you for having me.
And we are having so much fun off camera.
We are.
And you're so full of knowledge when it comes to detoxification, how to make it simple, how to make it easy, folding proteins and changing things in your brain. Like this, no wonder why when you're on a podcast, so many people listen. So that's going to be no different than today. So it's an honor and privilege to have you on our
show. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, it's great. Thanks for having me. I can't wait.
Let's go. Yes. We'll just cut out the swear words. Let's dig into it. You know, you talk a lot about sunlight as like the ultimate healer. Why is sunlight not, you know, why is sunlight such a powerful healing tool? Well, before we do that.
Yes.
Your medical doctor, there's a medical doctor story. All Yin's guys, I'm from Pittsburgh. All Yin's guys have your story when you make that transition from allopathic to naturopathic or natural medicine, functional medicine.
Yes. It's been a wild ride. So I went to school in Kentucky, you know, which is not necessarily the mecca for holistic healing.
No.
So I just thought the only thing.
University of Kentucky?
No. Boo.
Boo.
University of Louisville.
University of Louisville. Okay.
But no, it's okay. So
I apologize.
No, I know. Right. So I didn't know there was anything else other than medical school. I didn't know about chiropractor school. I didn't know about naturopathic school. I just thought that was the creme de la creme to treat patients.
Correctly. Yeah, yeah.
So I went to medical school there. I drank the Kool-Aid. I got all my flu shots. I took all the medicines. I did everything they told me.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out and I worked as a hospitalist for almost 7 years, which is sort of the quarterback of the team in the hospital. So the primary care doctors don't have time to go in, admit their patients and see them after seeing all their patients in clinic, go to the hospital and see inpatients. So they hire us to admit their patients for them, take care of them while they're inpatient in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and then release them. So I had to, you know a little bit about everything, consult all these different specialists, and oftentimes discharge patients on 30 to 40 different medications. And then you'd see them the next week
in the emergency
department.
You would send people away from the hospital on 30 to 40 meds.
Oh, yeah.
How was that even possible?
I thought that was health. I mean, let's talk about it. Lasix, lisinopril, metoprolol, Plavix, Crestor. I mean, whatever you want. All these different drugs. That's just the routine for heart disease. Strokes.
30 drugs.
Oh, yeah.
At once.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, then I go to the cafeteria.
I mean, I have a bad view of some of the mistakes that happen in allopathic medicine and traditional medicine, but I didn't know 30 to 40 meds.
Easily.
And they're allowed to drive off the parking lot.
Oh, yeah. We had to reconcile their medication list. Yeah. So it was fun times for everyone. Trust me, they were not in the least bit healthy.
I just got quiet.
I didn't consider that health either. But it got worse when I would go down to the cafeteria.
It couldn't have got worse.
No, it can. Just wait. I went down the cafeteria and I would be like, why are we feeding factory farm meats and processed dairy? And there's Cheetos in here and Coke and Pepsi to patients that are sick, chronically ill, that have cancer. And they would be like, because the FDA says we have to go by the food pyramid. And I'm like, but that's as real as Santa Claus. So they would be like, you can't say this anymore. You can't work for us if you keep saying this. And of course, I kept saying it because I can't.
You're a free thinker.
It's like if I'm asleep to everything and I don't see it, you're lucky. Mm-hmm. Like count your lucky stars. But the minute I see the truth, I can't do it anymore. Like I'm not gonna shut up. So basically their last straw was I wrote in a person's chart, an electronic medical record that came in. This person has been on Prevacid, which is a proton pump inhibitor to reduce acid in their stomach for 8 years. And the package insert clearly says 6 months to a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the primary care doctor that put them on that Prevacid called the lead hospitalist to complain about me. And he said, if you don't quit doing this, you can't work for us anymore. And I wasn't married. I didn't have kids. So I was like, I quit. Bye.
That was nice of you, by the way.
Yeah.
You could have fought that.
Probably.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it's this huge, basically monster of it itself, of itself right now, that like, it's almost easier just to walk away than it is to try and fight the system in it because it's so broken right now. So I just made the decision to jump ship. And I probably wouldn't have done it had I known that I would make a fourth of what I used to make in the hospital, because they make it, they tie it up like a little present with a bow for all the doctors when you graduate. You have your malpractice insurance taken care of, all your salaries taken care of, everything. You don't have to worry about anything in the hospital.
You walk, plug it right into their system.
Yes. And then when you leave, you have to become a business person. Some class, I'd never had a business class in my life. So it was like trial by fire.
They don't teach business in medical school or nutrition, unfortunately. They're starting to.
I got maybe 6 hours.
Yeah. So you bursted two of my bubbles. One, Santa Claus is not real. And two, the food pyramid is why hospitals feed patients that crap. And everyone can agree that that is crap. I did not know that they're following the food pyramid at a hospital.
I mean, I still don't know.
There's medical doctors, right, in a hospital that read literature, right? So maybe...
Yeah, you'd think. I mean, that's the thing. We were never taught that food is medicine or health. And I mean, even if the food pyramid was real, it still doesn't mean that cancer patient, when they have a full liquid diet, should have Jell-O. I don't know. Call me crazy.
Call you crazy. And the Jell-O is horrible.
Horrible.
It's horrible Jell-O.
There's no nutritional value whatsoever.
I'm just talking about the flavor. Like, if they're going to make it toxic, at least make it like yummy toxic. Yeah. I mean, you have all of Givaudan's, you know, the chemical manufacturers, natural flavor manufacturers, you know, their list, and they put that crappy flavor, like, let's just move on.
It's like, you could do better at your job of killing people.
But Santa Claus is real. Continue.
Sorry to burst your bubble on that. So yeah, after that, I really made no money. I lived in California with my best friend and her fiance, and I drove an hour one way to Whitaker Wellness in Newport Beach and 45 minutes the other way to train with a naturopath. And so I was making a little bit of money at Whitaker Wellness, training under a medical doctor who was awake. And then the naturopath actually taught me the most. So after that, I ended up starting a supplement company and doing all this other stuff, and then jumping headfirst into the holistic world and worked at a naturopathic clinic where the naturopaths taught me a lot. So the chiros, naturopathic doctors, have actually taught me the most, as far as like how the body actually works and how to have a different like set of lenses on when you're looking, because it's really everything I've learned in school has helped me immensely, like physiology, anatomy, you know, histology, all this stuff has helped me a ton.
Massive. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like they gave you the wrong perspective in school, the wrong lenses to look at the human body, because in medicine, they have all these different specialties that kind of have chart wars and fight amongst whose organ system is the most important. And they don't realize that like the whole body works as a symphony. And they don't realize that like you're kind of convoluting the body by separating everything. And then no one knows really what's going on in the body as a whole. So it's really messed up, and they don't have the right goggles on to see how it really works.
It's true of many things. It's true of religion. It's true of how you read the Bible. It's true of how you read the Quran. It's true of how you, like I two different people read the Quran. One's like, wanting to hurt people, other ones wanting to love people. Like,
that's
I have
so
friends,
true.
Right?
Yeah, it's so true.
They've memorized it, and they're just, it's crazy how lenses change things. Chiropractic has a great lens, right? The body can heal itself.
Yes.
You know, remove toxins and traumas and interference, and the body can heal.
The nervous system works.
The nervous system, you know? And so it's beautiful. So you have lots of crazy background, a lot of fun. You learn from naturopaths, chiropractors. You got on fire for this information. And because of that background, you really understand, like I thought I could read literature and understand stuff. And I thought I was pretty good until I start talking to you. I'm like, you're really good at it. So I wanna unpack some of that stuff. So for example, let's talk about sunshine.
Yes.
So why do you believe sunshine is the ultimate healer?
Well, you have a little biological clock in every cell of your body that responds to light. And we actually make biophotons based on light. We actually have light IVs that you can put inside the skin, green, red, yellow, that actually heal people, certain frequencies of light. And the sunlight actually turns on our mitochondria. And mitochondria are these little powerhouses in every cell that make ATP or energy, except they're not red blood cells. the only cell they're not in. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, how can you expect the organs to function properly if the very cells that make them up don't function properly? And they need light to drive those reactions mm-hmm. in the Krebs cycle, the electron transport chain, to make ATP. And so if you really want to have energy, you actually, like a battery, need to be charged out in the sun. Mm-hmm. And so I tell people, if you're privileged enough to move your body, you should lift weights in the sun for, that's like 2 gold stars instead of 1.
What about me at my house in Utah, that when I first moved here, I was up on a mountain by myself and my wife thought I was crazy, but I worked out naked and it was awesome.
Were you setting your testicles?
Everything. For a couple hours. I mean, yeah. I was even doing kettlebell swings.
Oh, nice. Just,
I, sorry, wow. Sorry for the image, everyone. Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. That's going to make this one go viral. But it's a true story. I'm just being honest. Like, this is, I believe what you
it's
believe.
It's true.
Like,
yeah.
What an opportunity. You said get outside and work out.
You're privileged to be able to work out. You're privileged to be able to.
Yeah, the privilege to do that. And you said something that was really cool, is that sunshine donates, and I'm going to ask this again, but sunshine donates electrons that drive the electron transport chain in the cell.
It drives the light, actually drives reactions within the cell and turns on the cell, so it makes ATP. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
That's infrared light.
Yes, exactly. Right. Infrared light and sunlight too. It's infrared light in the sun, right?
Yeah, in the sunlight.
Yes.
So is there anything else in the, like, this is just for me personally, like I really want to know the science. So the infrared spectrum drives the mitochondria. Is there any other like wavelengths? Does it, you know, I know there's eyeballs involved here, and there's more than just infrared light.
Yes. Like, you literally, it goes into your third eye and literally tells the body what time to set for each cell in the body. It tells you what time to release hormones, what time to release neuropeptides in the body. They're on a circadian rhythm, just like you are. So your hormones are released according to time and sunlight in the day. Not just that, but they have red light, orange light, yellow light in the sun. And these frequencies are things we don't get all the time because we're always looking at blue light, LED lights, which are not the full frequency that nature intended us to have.
Yeah, right? The further away you are from nature, the sicker you're going to be.
Correct.
Here's something interesting. When it comes to infrared light, we have low E glass windows in our homes.
Really?
Guess what spectrum it blocks?
The flu?
The red light.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me something cool, different.
Well, that's still fun.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because you think about it, we're trying to save from our houses from getting hot.
Oh.
So it moves out the spectrum that actually drives your mitochondria. So if you had just regular glass,
yes,
you'd be getting full spectrum light. But you're eliminating, like if you put a meter up to the window, you eliminate the red light spectrum, your infrared spectrum.
Wow.
So when you're inside, you're screwed. You're a plant that's in a closet and the door's shut.
Yeah.
And you're eating food and AKA watering the plant, and the plant's still dying because it needs sunlight to survive.
We're all like killer whales at SeaWorld.
Yeah. Killer whales at SeaWorld. Sad as it is, but you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. The further away we get from nature and sunlight. So what are 3 ways you can harness the power of sunlight?
Well, you know, I've actually recently been trying not to wear sunglasses anymore because when you have sunglasses on, you don't aren't aware of how much you're burning in the sun.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's not good, really. If you want to be out in the sun, you have to be aware of where your tone is in the sun and how long you've had been in the sun. The other thing is sunscreen. I'm really against like conventional sunscreen, the oxybenzene, all these other ingredients that really cause cancer, and they destroy the coral reefs. And then if you go to other countries, they tell you not to wear sunscreen when you're scuba diving or snorkeling because it actually destroys the reefs. So what is it doing there?
Destroy nature? Do we think we're nature? Maybe. No, it's separate. The nature's separate.
It's insane.
I interrupt.
You know, you're right. That proves the point, though, that you know these things were given to us for a certain reason, and then we, as humans, just mess things up with chemicals. Mm-hmm. The whole chemical revolution was not what they promised. Let's say that. And then I guess the last way to harness sunshine is what I mentioned before, is movement in the sun. Mm-hmm. You can really kind of double your energy and how charged your mitochondria are just by movement in the sun. So
adding movement as well as being in the sun.
Yes, while you're in the sun.
Just not kettlebell swings.
Well, as long as you're alone in private, sure.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Because I did. Speaking of sunshine,
yes.
Why is sweating one of the top detox strategies, and it's actually surprising how powerful it is.
Yeah, sweating's my favorite, actually. I really got into this when I got into hot yoga about 10 years ago, and I couldn't believe how much better I felt after a class. Mm-hmm. And then when I got into this whole holistic world, I started taking binders before sweating and after mm-hmm. sweating. And I noticed that my body would pick up sweat a lot more, if quicker. And the reason this was important to me was because I could see how many of my patients would tell me they couldn't sweat. And they thought I glistened. They thought this was normal. And I'm like, no, this isn't good. You know, because conventional medicine will tell you just sweat to cool your body off. But it's
they still believe that.
They still believe that.
Whoever they.
Yeah, whoever writes these papers. And so, you know, but the truth of the matter is, if you start looking at the studies, you can sweat out pesticide residues. You can sweat out, you know, PCBs. You can sweat out a lot of different heavy metals.
BPA.
Yeah, BPA as well. A lot of different chemicals can come out in the sweat. And so when people aren't sweating, I see them have some of the worst total tox tests, which is looking at all the different pesticides, phthalates, parabens, plastics. They have the worst test because they can't sweat. They'll get all hot and red and overheat, and they'll never really break a sweat. Or their heart rate will go up, mm-hmm. and they'll start getting all pots and tacky-like. Mm-hmm. And then, or they'll feel like they're going to pass out, and they'll never break a sweat. And that's not good, because the people that can sweat actually not only release toxins, but the body tries, it's a small stressor on the body, and it always mm-hmm. wants to go back to hormesis or homeostasis. It's always trying to find that, right? You're creating hormesis, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. You want to go back to homeostasis. Yeah. And so what that means is, when the body's stressed, it gives it like a second chance to retry to get to be back in homeostasis almost. Mm-hmm. It pulls it out, and then your body has to come back to center. So what happens is misfolded proteins, right? That really lead to improper genes, right?
Bad things.
Yes, bad things. They're misfolded, like let's say Alzheimer's proteins in the brain, right? So when you heat, you refolds the protein, the misfolded protein, lets it try to refold again. It's almost like injecting along the plane of a scar. It lets mm-hmm. the fascia relay again. So that stressor helps the body come out in chaos and then come back into homeostasis or normalcy. And so that's what sweating can do for the body. So a lot of people who have brain fog, who have a huge toxic load, sweating is their friend. And I love to get people who can't sweat in the sauna and say, okay, you can only tolerate 5 minutes. Every third day, add 2 minutes on.
So how do you get people sweating again?
Trigger it like that. They have to go and do it, even if it's uncomfortable for them. If you feel like you're going
to
pass out.
So you got to retrain your body to sweat?
Retrain your body almost to like be able to acclimate to that stressor. Mm-hmm. And so.
So that's why. They can't. That's too much hormesis.
Correct. Their body's too stressed out. They're into their toxin bucket's too full. Their nervous system is too rattled.
It's scared. It's like,
Yeah, like I can't handle it. It's almost like people don't have exercise. They have exercise intolerance mm-hmm. or they can't handle like a cold plunge, right?
I had exercise intolerance.
Yeah. So you know what that's like, you know? So it's like that in the sauna for them, because it's mm-hmm. mimicking exercise in the body a little bit. So you just have to trigger them slowly and add a couple minutes on every time they go. And then sometimes what will help is getting them drinking ginger tea. Mm-hmm. Or taking a
that's
binder
right,
beforehand.
That's Chinese medicine.
Yes. So that works.
Yeah.
Yarrow works too.
Yarrow grows everywhere.
Yes.
I've done a video on yarrow.
Oh, yeah, that helps too.
Yarrow. So the answer is, you got to sweat till you, not till you bleed, but you got to sweat till you heal.
Correct.
Do you know the song, you got to sweat till you bleed?
Yes.
Like, what is that song? Who's that by? Like CNC movie, CNC
Music Factory?
CNC Music Factory.
Yes.
I'm playing, he's 50, so.
Yeah, he knows.
CNC music, you gotta sweat till you heal. So sweat till you heal, because I know my mom had cancer. Mm. She was given drugs to take. She said no. I looked at the side effects. She did a lumpectomy. She didn't do chemo. She's now a-
Breast cancer?
Breast and lung.
Oh, wow.
So she had lumpectomy, and then she had like one of her lungs completely removed.
Lobectomy.
Mm-hmm. And no chemo, and no, she did a little bit of radiation. No chemo, what's the toxic breast cancer drug?
Tamoxifen.
Tamoxifen. Like, I don't know why that's still on the market, but I just talked to my mom about the
other
day.
They keep women on that for 5 years, even if they had stage one or cancer in situ. They'll keep them on that for 5 years.
Yeah, so she didn't take it. So she beat all the stats, but know what she did?
What?
Sweated. That was like her protocol.
I can tell in a...
She got a sauna and she sweat. Yep. She had 14 amalgam fillings. She got them out after she got cancer.
That's it 14. Too. She have root canals?
Yeah.
Get those reversed?
She did.
Everybody I know that has breast cancer has a root canal.
Yeah. Doesn't it work with the meridians or something? See, it's crazy. It's this than this, you know?
The body works as a whole, not in separate systems.
Like nature.
When conventional medicine gets that right, they'll be doing better.
They're going to do better. Yeah, they're doing really well. So you triggered something else funny that I was going to say. Oh my gosh, this is so fun talking to you. My mom is a survivor. And so I don't think many people with breast and lung cancer that took the drugs and did chemo would be alive at this point.
Yeah.
So she inspired me. And when she was in natural health, I wasn't. I was drinking Mountain Dews and
non-toxic dad.
Oh yeah, non-toxic dad was not always non-toxic.
He's toxic dad.
I'm toxic dad. I did harvest my own elk and elk meat when I was in Montana.
Well, you're halfway toxic dad.
Yeah, but okay. I was drinking Mountain Dews, you know. I don't know, Pepsi, you know, all the things.
Wow.
Yeah, so, but you got sick, right? And that...
Well, yes. No. What happened was probably like 3 years ago, mm-hmm. I was super stressed out. I had a bunch of horrible things happen to me in the last 7 years. Mm-hmm. And it was just all stacked on top of each other, like mm-hmm. back to back to back, and never ended, like lawsuits, my license surrendered. You know, tons of like 3 lawsuits. I mean,
it goes back to your, if you know the truth, you have to speak it, right?
Yeah. So all that happened. And why did you ask me this?
Oh, you ever got sick before?
Huh?
I said, if you ever get sick.
Oh, sick. Yeah. So then I was so stressed out and I was like, I didn't know what was wrong. I was like suicidal. And I went to a Joe Dispenza event with one of my friends mm-hmm. and I got lab work back when I was there that I'd gotten a few days before. And I remember sitting at Joe's event, he was speaking. And I kept staring at my friend. My friend was like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, all my blood work's in the red. This has never happened to me before. Never. And I was like, well, this is what's wrong with me. I start looking at all the abnormalities in the complete blood cell count in the CBC mm-hmm. and my MC.
Your CBC was off.
Oh, my CRP was 8. My vitamin D was 12.
That's hard to do.
I was like, why can't I lose this 30 pounds? Oh, my CRP is 8. This is a marker of inflammation. Mm-hmm. So, and then my MCV, my mean corpuscular volume, was 106. So I had a B vitamin deficiency. And it was making me suicidal because you need B vitamins to make hormones, neurotransmitters, and red blood cells, which was what was wrong with my CBC. So I took one look at that and I went and I Instacarted a B complex methyl B supreme mm-hmm. and I remember taking it and I was like kind of started made me sweat a little bit and it was like in Pleasantville when everything goes from black and white to color mm-hmm. that's what happened to me.
So you had a B12
folate, probably all vitamins. Okay. I mean vitamin D was in 12, so all my vitamins and minerals were in the toilet because I was so stressed out. When you're stressed, your nervous system does this thing. Well, at first when you go into flight or fight, your blood pressure and heart rate go up mm-hmm. right? Because you're puffy, you're holding on to things. Then when you go past that into functional freeze, which is where most of America is.
Yeah, functional freeze.
Yeah.
Heard that term earlier today.
It's the truth. And they start, that's where they just dissociate and scroll on their phone and watch a Netflix marathon and don't get off the couch all day.
Yeah.
So many people. And so you start dumping minerals out of your kidneys because your body can't hold its pressure and heart rate anymore. This is when people's blood pressure start to fall, their cortisol bottoms out. Mm-hmm. This is where their adrenals are done and they can't hold any minerals. And that was what had happened to me. I couldn't even like absorb fat soluble vitamins. I couldn't absorb and assimilate from my food. I was eating red meat. Mm-hmm. It's not like I was a vegan. And my B12 was still like that because stress impedes absorption.
So you're at Joe Dispenza and you learned about breath work and connecting to your heart and connecting to your body.
I was literally like, I'm going to manifest and turn these back to normal. And I did it in 3 weeks.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, this is the best place I can be. I'm going to get these labs back.
So your blood works normal. But so you did, you know, as a functional medicine doctor, just like everybody else, you know, you had access to all the right things. Mm-hmm. But just like everyone else, we go through some really hard times.
You just can't see yourself. It's just you can see everyone else and tell them what their problem is.
Yeah.
You can't see your own problems. That's usually how it is.
It's how it is for me.
Yeah. And everyone.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I don't know how many podcasts I've done. I'm still unsympathetic most of the time. I'm just going. And my goal in life is to be more connected, be more my parasympathetic, be more present.
It's hard, right?
Me and you, like your energy and my energy, we're like, let's go, you know? What are 3 blood tests that everyone should ask for?
Well, I'd be remiss now without saying a CBC with differential. So let me tell you why I say this. It's old. They haven't changed blood work in like 30 to 50 years. Mm-hmm. It's not my favorite way to test people, but it's a great starting point because mm-hmm. everyone gets blood work. So it's standardized really well for the most part. And if you look at functional ranges and be real nitpicky with everything, you can mm-hmm. really pull out some trends and find some things, right? So with a CBC with diff, like, you know, I like to look at people's blood cells, their MCV, their white blood cell count, is it robust or not? And then I break mm-hmm. it down into types of white blood cells. You know, how well are your lymphocytes doing? They fight cancer and viruses. We want that above two. Mm-hmm. You know, so many people's aren't. And then, you know, you can see, you know, are your eosinophils high? Well, that's a parasitic sign, mm-hmm. right? So you can see so many different things from the CBC. If you know what you're looking for, B vitamin deficiency, right? You can see inflammation in there too. Really important. If there's tick associated illnesses, their blood platelets will be low a lot of times. So you can kind of see trends in people after they told you the symptoms and their story, and you're like, oh, okay, I see what's going on here. That's one, CBC with diff. I would say also it's really important to look at people's blood sugar. Mm-hmm. Really important. So a fasting blood sugar and hemoglobin A1C are really important for me too. And a hemoglobin A1C is 3-month measure of blood sugars or average mm-hmm. of blood sugars. Lets me know how, just kind of how people's body are metabolizing and processing things and how mm-hmm. their liver's working. And then, man, the last blood work, let's see. I would have to say, I really like the inflammatory labs, but I think I would have to look at a full thyroid panel. Mm-hmm. And that's because hypothyroidism, I think it's like 1 in 6 mm-hmm. women have that now. It's crazy.
Probably all of us have some level of thyroid dysfunction.
Right, because it's the most sensitive gland. It just is. It's so rattled by so many different things. And it really irks me when doctors only get a TSH mm-hmm. or like a free T4. In the most active thyroid hormones, free T3. And I also can see how the liver is working by looking at the conversion mm-hmm. from free T4 to free T3.
So it's not converting, then you have a liver issue.
Exactly. And I compare that with everything else in the CBC, along with like some of the things I see in their total tox, which is one of my favorite tests to run.
Mm-hmm. That is a good one.
And then I can see where is your drainage pathway blocked based on what you told me, based on objective data. So
that's a nice match.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Sherlock Holmes.
That's very logical, actually.
Yeah.
So talk about the thyroid thing just a little bit.
Like, sure.
Because most docs, definitely traditional docs, you know, low, what, T3 or T4?
Yeah. Free T3 or free T4 usually indicates Hashimoto's usually. Mm-hmm. And they won't even check the antibodies. So like, you know, let's say you have a high TSH. Let me explain this to people. So mm-hmm. the TSH stands for thyroid stimulating hormone. It comes from the pituitary in the brain and it's on a feedback loop. Mm-hmm. So it talks to the thyroid gland and tells the thyroid gland to make free T4, which then converts to free T3 in the liver. Mm-hmm. Okay.
If so these, T4 to the liver, T3.
Yes. If
TSH talks
right.
to this, T4.
Turns to T3 in the liver and then the thyroid hormones, right? Which run your metabolism, everything. But if the thyroid hormones aren't reproduced properly and they're low, they will send that feedback loop back to the brain to say, make more TSH, make more TSH. So what we mm-hmm. see is the thyroid stimulating hormone goes high, the thyroid hormones go low because they're on a feedback loop, and vice versa for hyperthyroidism. So you have a low TSH and high thyroid numbers. But, you know, they taught us this black and white thing where people are hyper or hypothyroid in school, and it just doesn't work that way. There's some people that switch back and forth between the two. You can't just label it low or high thyroid. It's dysfunctional. And so sometimes you'll see high numbers, sometimes you'll see low in a person, depending on what's going on in their life. The other thing is they don't check antibodies. So anti-thyroglobulin and TPO mm-hmm. antibodies, thyroperoxidase antibodies, they don't check those. Why? Because I need to know if you have low thyroid. Is this an autoimmune condition or is it due to like stress? Mm-hmm. It's a totally different like solution and what I would give them based on that. So they don't even check antibodies and I can barely do anything with the TSH. I'm like, great. Well, your brain is talking to the thyroid gland. Wonder what the thyroid gland is doing. I don't know.
So now everyone's going to ask their medical doctors for a full thyroid panel. And they're going to listen to this podcast and they're going to learn why. Because you can't argue with that. That's why they developed a test.
Yes, that's right.
Begin with.
But, you know, they do things, I'll just be frank here. They do things in medicine that aren't always correct for the patient. Let's use an example as the VA hospital. Mm-hmm. Okay, I trained at the VA hospital. It was part of my rotation and residency. But, and they are the most inefficient hospital on the planet. I'm sorry. And the drugs that the government bids for, you would think they would do better for our veterans. They bid on the lowest cost drug, mm-hmm. not the most efficacious one. So if you guys want to know how real medicine works, they pick labs that are covered by insurance that are cost effective for them, not best for the patient.
So it comes down to, once again, cost effective.
Of course. Yeah. It's a business.
Just like building a house.
Imagine that. Yeah, it's business.
What are three everyday items that just wreaking havoc on hormones?
Man. Oh, gosh. This is a good one. Laundry detergent.
What's in it?
oh my gosh, VOCs mm-hmm. and all kinds of gross chemicals that are forever chemicals that don't break down. Yeah. I can't tell you exactly what they are besides VOCs. No,
yeah, Voltaren compounds, absolutely.
Yeah.
They're hormone disruptive.
And this is what mycotoxins are. They're VOCs too, right?
They are.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, and then I would say like all those household cleaning products, you know, like dishwashing detergent, gross.
Because you're doing it every day.
Gross. Like my roommate buys Cascade.
Oh no.
And then he washes, tries to wash my dishes with it. Look at me. I can't even deal with it. And I have to put gloves on and like try to, I don't even want to touch it because it gets them off on your hands. It's gross. So yeah, everyone just knows that my roommate buys Cascade, but he'll kill me, but it's true. So that's gross. I mean,
but it makes it, the Cascade does a good job putting a type of forever chemical likely that keeps the glass nice and shiny and bling, bling. It's so worth it, right?
I know. That's how I'm going to make him listen to this. Okay. And then candles. Mm-hmm. Candles are another one that are conventional. They're probably not as bad as some of the other things in the house, but they're still on my list. Glade plug-ins, all that kind of stuff. Oof, it's so gross.
I had trauma. Glade plug-ins. I'll tell you some stories on that. Like I was chemically sensitive.
Your liver. It's your liver.
Well, I'm not anymore.
Good, you fixed your liver.
I must have.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, so if you have chemical sensitivity, it could be in your liver. So anyway, I would go into an Uber and I would literally, because I was so frustrated then, I would literally snap it off and throw it out.
You would get in the car and reach up there and do that?
Yeah, if they wouldn't take it down.
That's awesome.
And
That would go viral.
I did it already.
Okay, good.
It's one of my most viral videos. And reason it went viral is because it's exactly a real story. And I just acted out.
Yeah.
Something that happened.
It's what all of us want to do, though. That's really why it went viral.
He didn't see me.
Oh.
I did it really fast.
Oh, wow. That's so, like, Matrix-like.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
You know, it's like I got fast muscle twitch, you know. I was an All-American javelin thrower.
You went shape and both. Okay.
So, yeah, he was an athlete. So, another story. I'm going to a car. No Christmas trees anywhere. But it smelled like Christmas trees. I couldn't find the Christmas trees. And he put the luggage in for me and I'm like, where's the Christmas trees? Like, I smell it. He's like, oh, I don't have any. Go take my luggage out. Stack of 10, where the luggage is at.
We should tell everyone why these are so bad.
Let's talk about why are air fresheners the most toxic thing
they're
you can put
so
in your car?
Bad. Everything, all the air fresheners in the house too, because they're fake smells. Like let's take Febreze, for example. It literally encases smells in a toxic chemical bubble. That's how it fixes your smells. Like it's nothing, it's not eradicating smells whatsoever. And so are these things are made of VOCs. They're just pumping out chemicals in your air that you're breathing in. They're not anything close to lemon flavor or lavender flavor. They're literally a batch of chemicals.
Neuroinflammatory, carcinogenic, hormone disrupting. We're triple threat already.
Candles too.
Candles as well.
Yeah, it's disgusting. And people just burn them like it's normal.
Well, small rabbit trail, and then I have some other cool questions to finish off this beautiful opportunity we have to talk today, is you can't just eat one Pringle, right?
No.
Because of artificial flavors, which is manufactured by these chemical manufacturers, right, where they're multi-billion dollar companies. So the smells as well are manufactured that you become addictive to, and these patents, secret recipes are worth millions and millions of dollars, and people will pay a lot of money. They'll negotiate the deal. It's like, okay, this one is highly addictive. And people get addicted to this because it triggers your brain. Like it's almost like sniffing glue,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It gives you that, high.
Sorry, I just thought of Happy Gilmore. Go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, Happy Gilmore is a funny movie.
Who's eating glue?
Well, don't sniff glue because smelling these fragrances are like smelling glue as far as the toxicity side of it, but it's also they're manufactured to get you addicted to them. Mm. So the same chemicals for artificial flavors just taste, but smells the same thing. It's also firing that neuropathway. They're excitotoxins,
yeah,
neuroinflammatory toxins, but they cause addiction. And so, the old lady who wears the perfume, like she loves that perfume. Mm-hmm. You're not But you take the perfume away and her headaches go away. You take, because they cause headaches. This is in the literature. They cause headaches. They cause allergies. They cause asthma. A story after story of people taking fragrances out and their asthma goes away.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've had it.
Yeah. I mean, well, I've never been chemically sensitive, but you know how many people I've seen that have been, they literally can smell anything. And the minute they smell it, they go into histamine reaction.
Yeah.
It's bad.
It's bad.
So
they pass out, can't walk.
Yeah. And then not only that, I would also include plastic clothes. All the different clothes they're making with flame retardants on them now. Leggings, Lululemon leggings with PFAs in the crotch. It's great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really good for you.
Yeah, people will be like, well, those are like no, like 0.01 parts per million. And I'm like, yeah, but they are forever chemicals.
So when is it okay to give you a little bit of toxins in every single thing that you have? A little bit of toxins in your water. There's some little bit of pharmaceuticals.
Oh, Warren, it's generally recognized as safe.
It's grass status, baby. Grass status. I don't want, you know, grass status.
Me neither.
So, okay, plastic clothes. That's something that people, everyone should move towards. That's one of my, it's one of the hardest things as non-toxic dad, because I'm trying to, I don't want to shame anyone for wearing their wonderful Lululemons that they love and they wear them everywhere.
And they're like $100.
Yeah. And they're made of spun chemicals and they're very inexpensive to make. It's not healthy for the environment. It's not healthy for the workers. They're known to have BPA, formaldehyde, endocrine disruptors. They're known. There's no, some of these things are going to have Prop 65 warning labels on them very, very soon.
Really?
Because there's that level of chemicals.
Gross.
That's, it's unsafe.
Yeah.
Unfair. And we're not, here's one that's new. Digital devices, the screens, they have a PFAS coating on them. Think about it. Why wouldn't they? It helps it be smudge free.
Oh.
It helps it not get dirt and dust on it.
Oh.
So did you know that there is a on most digital devices, your iPhones, your digital iPads, your Samsung.
Did not know that.
Your Android. PFAS chemicals, just like Rain-X, right? For on your window, keeps it. That's what's on your phone. And you're touching it. And they're like, oh, it's a little bit. Yeah, it's a little bit. And it does absorb through the skin because they've done a recent study.
Yes.
That touching the screens does absorb. I don't know if it was on that, but it is that PFAS does absorb through your skin.
Yeah, it totally does.
Easily.
Yeah.
So.
That's so gross.
I just dropped a video on that. It only got like 100,000 views. I thought that people would be more mad about that one because I didn't know
that. I'm mad about that one.
So what do you do is you can buy a tempered glass cover that doesn't have PFAS compounds.
Okay.
So you're going to start seeing this, right? You're going to be like PFA, if this gets in, if another influencer does it and it goes viral and another one does it and it goes viral. So if you're out there watching this, let's do that video and let's double up on this one. Like I usually like to be first to the rodeo. And
no, I'll do a video on that.
Yeah, do a video on that. Get
That's
it out there.
One.
Get it out there to the people. And then you get a tempered glass and just make sure it's PFAS free. So gel nails, right? What people don't realize is TPO, which is the hardener agent.
Yes.
That's why they banned it in Europe and we still have it here, but it is gonna shift. Companies are gonna try to make money off of you by saying, we have TPO free gel nails, like come to us, you know, but
this
there's-
This is BioClean Organic Algae.
What is that?
BioClean Organic Algae Gel.
Gel nails.
It's made of gel, it's algae. BioClean Organic Algae.
Where'd you get this?
It's in Tampa or St. Pete.
Everyone's got to fly to St. Pete to get gel nails.
It's an organic nail salon there.
God bless them.
I know, right? So there's options, but you have to search, you know? But yeah, the gel nails too. They have TPO. So TPO free, you were saying, is not.
It's not going to. I mean, if it says TPO free, it's just like a BPA free plastic.
It's plastic. Like BPS, BPF, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
All the bisphenols. Look, you even know all that stuff.
Yeah, that's not usually. BPA isn't usually what's on receipts. It's BPS and BPF, actually, on receipts as well.
And it's more home disrupting. And it's way worse than, receipts are way worse than drinking out of a plastic water bottle. Like 1,000 times.
I mean, I've seen on the show talks, people will be like, where did this come from? I don't eat or drink out of plastic. I'm like, you grab sales receipts.
Yeah.
Every time.
Put them in your pocket, play with them, give them to your kid. I get yelled at about that. Who gives their kids receipts? If you're a busy mom, you're giving your kid whatever they want to stay quiet in the backseat. I've never done it, but you know, I know people that have.
That's not good.
Chew on them.
Oh my gosh. No.
Babies eat everything.
Yeah, it's true.
So don't give your kids receipts.
Don't do that. Yeah, people should know that.
Yeah, they should know that, but you don't know. They're not telling you that this is a highly toxic hormone disrupting compound that you're handing to your child. No one's saying that.
Just who would ever think that?
Nobody. It's crazy. Who would have thought that there is forever chemicals on your iPhone screen?
Yeah.
So cut by 1,000 razor blades. We're bleeding. We're bleeding. We need help. I've heard you say that histamine could be the reason you have anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Histamine is this weird little noxious chemical that's released from these cells called mast cells that are one of the first defenders when they see a foreign intruder in the body. And I will say that they don't have to always see a foreign intruder. They can be released from mast cells by your thoughts as well. So nervous system dysregulation, chemical exposures, pathogens, heavy metals, all can set this off in sensitive folks. So histamine in the brain, because it can be released anywhere in the body. Histamine in the brain is anxiety, brain fog. Histamine in the heart, vagus nerve palpitations. Histamine in the gut is bloating, loose stools. Histamine in the bladder is interstitial cystitis. Histamine on the skin is eczema and hives. So wherever it's released, it can have a different kind of presentation.
And this is all science.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course it is.
I could just break it down. Yeah. So histamine mast cell activation syndrome, which is histamine overload. The two main causes for that are nervous system dysregulation, being in flight or fight, not feeling safe in the body or mind. Water damage buildings, followed closely by parasites.
Yeah. So I've been thinking about mast cell activation because I get chronic headaches sometimes.
Yeah, that can be it too.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, you know, and I've had my health double checked from, I did find another 6 foot by 3 foot section of mold recently.
That would make sense.
Yeah, that was fixed. I noticed, and maybe this will help people, I get nervous when I get into big groups and I get brain fog. And I used to think, and I figured it out, it wasn't that. I used to think it was perfumes and the chemicals.
Oh.
I'm like, I was blaming it on that, but it was actually, I didn't like being in crowds.
Histamine due to nervous.
Yeah. And I would lose my words. Like you, if you're in the room, your big personality, I would allow you to, but I walk in, if there's not a big personality and someone wants to talk to you, I'm just like, massive brain fog.
Really?
And it was from anxiety.
Aww.
Histamine. So this will be one of our last questions
yes.
for you. What are some of the three biggest signs that you're deficient in magnesium and zinc and these other essential minerals?
Yeah, you know, there's lots of different deficiencies that people can have nowadays because our soil is so stripped. We have like 8 times less vitamin C than our grandparents used to in an orange. So with that being said, if people are bloated half the day or stressed out, they are not absorbing and assimilating things. I myself am an example of that in the past, right? So if you are low in magnesium, magnesium runs over 300 enzymatic reactions in the body. So you'll be constipated, you might have headaches, you might have a lot of anxiety or nervous jitteriness because magnesium helps our muscles move properly. It helps our brain function properly. It's a cofactor in so many different reactions throughout the body. So that's really important. Zinc, you might have gastrointestinal issues. You might have acne, right? I see this a lot. You might have immune problems, so not be able to fight off infections. Zinc is really important for fighting off infections, as we saw during COVID. That's part of the COVID protocol that so many people gave. Because zinc is really important for white blood cells to function properly in the body. So, you know, there are lots of different symptoms you can have, from B vitamin deficiency, vitamin C deficiency, magnesium, all these different micro and macro minerals do important things in our body. And they also provide a potential or charge for the nerves to fire properly in the nervous system. So if you don't have these minerals, your nervous system is going to be faltering. You're not going to feel like a shell of yourself. Anxiety, depression, you might not sleep properly. All these things are important, and your mental health will suffer because you need these to make neurotransmitters and hormones, which are the scaffolding of your personality. And so without minerals, you're going to really feel not like yourself. And so if you can get those minerals, your nerves will fire properly. They have a potential, which comes from charges from minerals. And so then when your nerves are properly, your nervous system starts to become more balanced. So minerals ground the nervous system and are one of the first steps to healing people. So if you have mineral deficiencies, start there.
Yeah, I haven't had anyone put it together like that. I could follow you and it was really, really good. So I hope everyone paid attention to that. Deficiencies I've seen it time and time again, just testing for it and fixing those deficiencies and seeing like, people's like hormones come back online. Yeah.
Like a new person.
Yeah, it's crazy. And if their gut's bad, you can do IV.
Yeah.
If needed. Yep. Do you do any IV work in your clinic?
I don't, but I myself got IVs when I saw my B vitamin deficiency. Yeah. I was like, I'm so low, I could have pernicious anemia or something. Mm-hmm. Like I need to go get IVs of B complexes. And that's what I did, kind of a loading dose. Mm-hmm. And that was the reason, the genesis for the creation of NanoGlue-B over at Aegis and my minerals, Elemental Edge. That's the reason I put like 1,000% the RDA of minerals in supplement.
I love that.
Because the RDA is bunk.
So what are three behaviors that indicate that you're a people pleaser?
So I used to do some of this, so I can speak personally. I'm naturally a people pleaser. I had to kind of work and do some solid shadow work to get over that. But I used to always apologize. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry about everything.
Are you Canadian?
No. Eh? No.
Yeah.
No, I'm West Virginian. So same difference, probably. I mean, and the really nice people, but, you know, my mom was kind of a fawner growing up, so mm-hmm. I learned from her. Mm-hmm. So I think over-explaining is another one.
Over-explaining
is another one. You don't need to explain everything to everyone. Not everyone deserves an answer, mm-hmm. right? And then not being able to say no. If people ask you to do something and you don't feel like it, but you're always a people pleaser, and you always say yes when you should say no, that's yeah. important too.
That's a great way to like end this show because I want you to stay, but you're going to tell me no because you have to go somewhere. You're not a people pleaser anymore. So you got to go to a meeting, but it has been an honor and privilege to have you on.
Thank
Dr.
You.
Jess. And I love, just to wrap up that in a bow, is that the emotional side of taking care of yourself, like saying no to bad relationships, you know, don't apologizing for what you believe in and know to be true in your heart so that you can live your authentic self, which is the highest vibration.
That's right. If it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no.
Yeah.
That's how you should look at it. I mean, really, that's everything about life. And honestly, the sickest people I see are in toxic relationships.
Yeah.
So it's really important to get toxic people out of your life, toxic situations, and live for what makes you happy. So,
yeah. It's incredible. Well, you are living your truth. You've been through a lot. And it's an honor to have that expressed in this podcast and help people live a non-toxic life and live non-toxic, not just from inside their bodies, but inside the relationships, in their relationship with the environment.
Yes.
That's what non-toxic living is all about. And you are living it. Dr. Jess, thank you for
being
here
for it. Thanks, Warren.